Okay.
Good afternoon and welcome to Chat About. I'm your host, News Director Larissa Donovan. Kev Jackson stepped away from our show today. You know, he's going to have a lot to do in the very near future. But joining us in the studio today, District 3 Commissioner Richard Anderson. Welcome back to Chat About.
Thank you, Larissa. And I should have known that, you know, heard it on the air that you weren't going to be with us for much longer. You got another job, but you know what? We're going to enjoy today.
That's right. You know, each day as it comes. So lucky you, you get to be here on my last week.
Make it a great day or not.
Exactly. I remember Mr. Anderson announcing that over the intercom at BHS. But the Beltrami County Board of Commissioners meets, well, looks like you're going to have a long time in the administration building because the quarterly meeting of the Community Health Board kicks things off today at 2 o'clock.
Right. We're changing things up a little bit here. We've almost like, well, it is three distinct meetings. Before, we would try to sandwich the public health meeting, a community health meeting, in with other businesses. And this is going to be better, this will, I believe. So starting at 2, we have the Ann Bowles, a new public health administrator, and she will be leading the discussion through, it's kind of a quarterly where evaluate what we were talking about 3 months ago and then looking ahead or what's coming up.
And there were a number of years where these community health board meetings largely focused on the COVID-19 pandemic, but things have since changed and it's more of a looking at the agenda, it seems a little bit more broad. What sort of things are in the purview of the Community Health Board? It's not tuberculosis like it was 100 years ago, but maybe that still comes up from time to time.
Well, it probably does. Yeah, it's home visits, you know, and trends that are happening in the community. And it has to do with venereal disease. Syphilis is on the rise, and so they talk about, you know, what's being done for that and who do we partner with and which age group is the most likely. And we talk about, they talk about the training and other conference opportunities that are coming up. They even do the legislative update dealing with community health. Another area is the opioid settlement. We're getting a fair chunk of money, but before that is expended, they want a committee to evaluate where is it best used within our community. And so there will be a commissioner and then various other community folks on that committee. And then there's also every 3 years, I believe, there's an assessment, but we actually do an assessment yearly. And I remember a couple of years ago, we teamed up with Sanford because they do quite a similar one.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that's going to entertain about an hour.
Very good. And after the meeting of the Community Health Board wraps up, on to the work session. Are you guys getting a dinner or lunch break anywhere in here?
We might get a bathroom break. But
okay, if you're lucky. So after the Community Health Board, the regular work session, no closed sessions this time.
I know.
That's been unusual.
Yes, we must have a lot of topics to cover.
right. So we'll just go ahead with item number 4, the MCIT Annual Member Report. Is this the Minnesota counties sort of a thing?
Yes, okay. Yes, it is. And it deals with, you know, you have your health insurance and you have other insurance like homeowners insurance. Well, this is more like a homeowner's, except it expands. It deals with, like, if we have one of our county buildings that gets struck by lightning, then how much will they pay? It's just like our homeowners. And then there's also the situation where someone slips and falls in the county building, you know, then if there's a suit or something, then they help us through that. They have attorneys and whatever. So that's that side of the insurance. And so that's one of them. And then coming up following that will be Prime West Health, which deals with our health needs as individuals. But it's mainly for our constituents that we work with It's their health insurance. And basically, Larissa, we got started with that about 6-7 years ago. It's we own this insurance company. When I say we, the counties that are involved with it.
Right. It's like Northwestern Minnesota counties, right?
Right. Okay. It used to be just 10, and then we joined along with Hubbard and Clearwater, so there were 13 for a couple of years. And then to make the pool larger, it helps to bring down the costs. There's actually 24 counties now that own Prime West. And we'll be talking about, again, they have an opportunity for people within our community right now to put in a grant request. There's $2.5 million that over the last couple of years, the insurance company made extra money rather than pay some administrator big bucks, it goes back to our communities.
Hey, not too shabby.
No.
So what sort of things could these investment funds be used for?
Boy, it could be used for mental health.
That's a big need there, especially for kids.
Absolutely. It could be used for some needs within the jail. You know, if there's health needs that need to be what we try to spend this money on are our constituents that are already in our programs, and how can we help them become healthier or be happier, successful people. And if we can incorporate in our grant requests some of these needs that we have and how it will help them, it's more likely that Beltrami will get one of the grants.
All right, very good. After that discussion, BSU NTC Collaborative, is that largely informational? Do you know what that's about?
You know what? I think it's just more informational about how are we being a partner with BSU in what areas? And maybe what should we be that we're not? And
right.
The same with NTC.
And, you know, as a member of the Minnesota Counties Association, mm-hmm. or however that acronym goes.
AMC.
Yeah, there you go. How many counties do partner with their local, state universities and things like that? Is that usual?
I think if you have one in your area, in your county, then it's okay.
Okay.
You know, for example, we have problems getting nurses because there's just a lack of them. But if we can partner with NTC and sponsor a candidate, then that person may stay within our community.
All right. Very good. And after a discussion on that, aquatic invasive species update, starry stonewort. I know it's about that time of year for the annual starry trek.
Yes, yes. And this time they kind of handed this over to the DNR,
mm-hmm.
and let them have more input and suggestions of how to deal with it. And one of the ways is the old-fashioned way of going out there 2-3 times a year and actually lifting it out of the water and disposing of it that way.
Right, hand pulling, yeah.
Hand pulling, yeah.
There are some, like, herbicides that they can use, but I can imagine little hesitancy to use that in a delicate ecosystem that is a lake.
Yeah, and they're being careful, which mm-hmm. I'm glad they are, but it has infiltrated quite a few of our lakes. And so...
Yeah, I can make a big, nasty mat of it, of things.
Absolutely. Okay.
So after that, a new remote solid waste transfer site. Where are you looking at putting that?
That would be, they're looking at a couple of different sites, but one might be north and west of Gull Lake.
Okay.
Yeah. It's in that area that they have, folks there have to drive a little bit farther than, say, myself. I can drive to Pinewood and back, and that's, 5-6 miles, something like that for me. So within a radius, this is the only spot within our county that they have to drive a little bit farther.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also costly.
Right.
So
especially, we have Brian Olson come on every other month or so. Right. And he talks about some of the issues that pop up at these remote solid waste transfer sites.
Right. And so it's going to be brought to the board just to say, okay, it's going to cost approximately $150,000. Is this the best way? And is this the time of that we should be looking at doing this? Or do we delay it for another year or two? Yeah, and so that's kind of what we're going to hear about.
Very good. And then that just about takes care of it for like informational topics within the work meeting. Tom Berry might provide an administrator's update if he has time.
He will. Yeah, unless I, you know, as the chair, I have to sometimes say, can you do that during a regular session?
And that just about takes care of it to the regular session. A number of things looks like routine items on the consent agenda.
Yeah.
But the jail project setting criteria, I understand that the Joint Planning Board issued some sort of moratorium on what the where the county would be able to place the jail with the Wiebolt site kind of up in the air right now, right?
Yeah, it is, and it was.
It was,
and,
okay.
And they had, at the kind of the last hour, we got a message saying that no, the jail would not be on any city property.
Any city property.
Any. And so
what about the current jail that's currently on city property?
I know. But that was their attorney's interpretation of what their ordinance allowed. And the state, of course, says it has to be. You have to place it on city property. So you've got this conflict going.
But doesn't state law usually trump local ordinance?
You would think so. But they were, as a joint planning board, they were looking at it now and saying, okay, well, let's delay it for 6 months and really do some research and try to figure out how we want to handle this. Well, we don't have 6 months, we don't feel, as a county, if we're going to meet our demands from the state as well. If we don't show progress, they could come in and say, fine.
And sunset the current facility.
Yeah, you're done. And already with what they have said, the small numbers that we can have at our jail, it costs the county about $900,000 to $950,000 every year just to house our prisoners out of Beltrami County.
Right. And, you know, there are different costs for per inmate per day.
Correct.
Per diem, depending on, you know, so many different factors.
Right.
Like mental health and substance abuse, which I imagine includes a good majority of the people facing incarceration, right?
I believe it. That's what they're finding out. Anyway, we went to the Joint Planning Commission and said, you know, these are our needs. We sent a letter. And they were good enough, actually, even though it wasn't a public meeting, they were good enough to look at that request and debated and talked about it and made a decision, which I'm thankful they did, that we could have a jail on city property if it were industrial or commercial. Not if it's residential. No residential property at all would be allowed.
Okay.
So, and in the past month, since the public hearing, we had a number of people that shared their concerns and whatever, and also areas that we had not looked at yet. So we went back to the drawing board and spent a lot of time and effort. We have good people working on it. And are looking at some sites that are definitely not residential.
Okay.
And so we'll continue and do as much as we can to find a good site that works well for the jail and make sure it meets all of the needs that we have.
So with the Wiebolt property offer, like, that already happened, but there was some sort of provision in there that if something like what the Joint Planning Board did, that would allow you to, like, you know, walk away from the offer.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's the...
That doesn't cost the county or taxpayers anything,
no,
right?
Correct.
I like that.
I know. And so, you know, we're trying to work well and be good community members as well.
But I imagine it's a difficult ask of a community at the same time.
Absolutely.
A big jail that costs a lot of money.
Oh, boy. And if we're going to, which I'm going to put a plug in for it right now, the LOST, we call it. It's the local sales option sales tax.
Okay.
We really need that citizens to look at that and pass that, because that will reduce how much local Beltrami people pay on their taxes for this new jail.
Right, a sales tax is a little bit better at capturing those regional dollars.
Absolutely, and projections are that it'll capture quite a few. Now, it doesn't tax clothes and it doesn't tax food.
What about the cars?
And it doesn't tax cars.
Okay.
So, you know, those are things that we all need to purchase. But it will be more in the area of maybe a hotel room will cost an extra dollar or a dollar and a half.
Right. Night on the town. Not a few bucks extra.
Yeah. So that'll be the discussion. Actually, tonight, I'm not sure where it's going to go, except, well, I am too. Right now, we're looking at guidelines for every property that we're looking at. Do they meet this one? Do they meet this criteria? Do they meet this criteria? And so being presented to the full board tonight will be the criteria that is going to be used as we look in the future at sites or for some of the sites that we already had looked at.
Right.
So it'll be good for the full board to see that and understand that every site has the same criteria that they have to meet.
All right. Well, is there anything else about, you know, county business you wanted to share with the listeners before I let you go today, Richard?
No, I think I think we've got June weather, and I love it. It's just.
I think it's payback for all the July weather we got in June, too.
I think so. But hold on to your hats when it comes another week or a few days, because it's supposed to be hot. But enjoy.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Richard Anderson.
And thank you, Larissa Donovan.
I'll be back to wrap up today's show and to preview tomorrow's in just a moment.